Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. What's up? How y'all doing? I had some equipment malfunction. I had my levels all messed up. I'm back. I was working my levels like I'm DJ Premier. I'm working the board, son. Thanks for tuning in this week, y'all. Appreciate it. I believe this is episode 13, unlucky 13. This will probably be my best podcast. I'm not falling for the trickery, the superstition. This is going to be a dope podcast. How y'all doing? What's up? I should be watching the Miami Cleveland game right now, but I'm not, because Miles is watching Sprout TV right now. Sprout TV is ruining my life, y'all. If I have to watch the goddamn Pajaminos one more time, I swear to God, I'm going to do absolutely nothing about it. That's how tough I am. I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to come up here and watch Netflix on my phone like a grown-ass man, like all married men do. You just cave in, and before you know it, you have no space in your own home. I feel like a Native American, and my family is the white people, our white settlers. I have nothing left, and you better not fucking complain one bit. Okay? All right, they bought that land fair and square from a guy who had no concept of money. So, I mean, goddamn, that's some gangster-ass shit. To buy something from someone who has no concept of money or ownership. Nah, just go ahead and sign right here. Oh, you don't know what written language is? That's fine. Just go ahead and sign. It's legally binding. What's legal? Don't worry about that. We're white. It's okay. We can. It's fine. All right. Just find some dude that's, yeah, I'll sign it. Just find some dude that's just like, that's how shit works, though. They probably just found some Indian dude. It's like, is this yours? Yeah. I live here. Oh, okay, since you live here, I guess you own it. We want to buy it. How does that sound? All right. All right, cool. Here's the money. Get the fuck off our land. Oh, and take these blankets back to your kids. That was weird. What's up? How y'all doing? Every week, I like to start off by thanking each and every one of you guys for taking the time out to listen. I appreciate it. If there's anyone new listening, thank you. I appreciate it. Shout out to my cuz out west. My man Casey Kentley. He's always supporting your boy. I appreciate it. Shout out to him. It's been a weird week, man. Weekend so far, I guess. Just crazy shit, man. It's crazy shit. I don't know if I should start off with, what should I start with? I got into another Twitter beef, but I got into a Twitter beef with this super conservative radio host out of, Texas, I believe Houston. His name was Michael Berry. So I stumbled across this article, and granted it's a left-leaning article, and someone pointed that out, but I listened to the audio from his radio show, and basically he's talking about the video of some young ladies beating up another young lady at a McDonald's, and he's talking about, you know, I saw a vicious attack on a teenager in a McDonald's, you know, just brutal, savage attack, and people are videotaping the beating, and it's just, I mean, they're kicking her like a football. The drawback on the foot is just a disgusting video. You know what? I don't want to talk about what race they are, because it doesn't matter. It's just disgusting. But you know, I'm really not going to mention the race, because the race doesn't matter, because we don't. I'm past race, but we're not going to talk about the race of these people, because the race of these people don't matter, because it's just the race doesn't matter. All right. So then he goes on to say, "There's this complete savages that live in this country we call America." Complete savages, and it's sad. And that people get upset with his show because they say things like they can't really express how they feel towards these people. If they actually brought up the root cause of why these young black people act this way, then people would be too upset. They can't handle the truth. And then he goes on to say, you know, white lives matter because white people value other white lives. They don't have to say it because we value it. Black people don't value each other's lives. It's like, actually, it's the person that say white people value white lives that don't think black lives fucking matter. Number one, people that say that shit. And then he goes on to say, white people don't get into a vehicle and just drive by someone's house and shoot into the window because there could be kids in there. White people don't do that. White people don't walk into a McDonald's. Four or five white people don't walk into a McDonald's and just beat somebody down. It's like, bro, have you ever fucking looked at a history book? Have you cracked a history book? You know, and it's honestly not about putting blame on anybody. It's not about trying to find out whose race is more violent, but to try to act like white people and like him are completely fucking innocent of any wrongdoing ever. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? And looking back now, I should have never said anything to this guy, because people like that, you can't convince them. But I was upset, so I tweeted, I was like, hey, it was a white dude that shot up an elementary school. Hey, it was a white dude that shot up a movie theater. And then the only response he could come up with was know your place. Don't talk to me unless you have 10,000 Twitter followers. Ooh. Then I respond, you just don't want to hear real shit. You're a bitch. Then he goes, that's prison language. Prison fam. Something about I enjoyed the butt rape. And I was like, actually, I was in the military for 16 years. And he pretty much didn't have much to say after that. But, of course, when you attack someone that has a few hundred thousand, a few tens of thousands of followers, of course, their cronies want to jump in. And, of course, you know, the first thing they do when they see your comic, they want to go to your YouTube page. And that's what I got. Oh, I went to your page and you're not funny. Oh, I'm still waiting to laugh. And I was like, cool, I appreciate the views. Thank you. The only thing that they could ever say was one dude was correcting my grammar and sighing, like he was just, you know, oh, it's the wrong there. It's like, I'm sorry you spent your time fixing my autocorrect. I know the difference between there, and there. I really do. But see, that's what people do when they don't really want to address the issue. They want to nitpick your grammar. They want to nitpick your grammar. Then I had somebody else, you know, over the last 100 years, who's been more violent, blacks or whites? I was like, well, you know, there's a dude named Hitler that killed 6 million people. I think you got us there. No, you went back too far. I was like, well, you said 100 years. Well, what about the 15th, in the 16th century? I was like, trust me, I'm pretty sure y'all got us beat on the killing. And then the ignorant statement of, well, I guess it's okay since you guys haven't caught up. I was just like, dude, no one's condoning black violence. And no one's even trying to ignore that it happens or that it's an issue in our community. But don't act like white people are completely innocent. Okay, let's not, since we're doing the whole race, blaming the entire race thing, if we're going to encompass each other into, you know, into our race, if we're going to do that, then white people aren't innocent, black people are innocent. But when it comes time to talk about the shit white people have done, they don't want to hear it. That's why those bigoted people get on my nerves. And of course, I had some of my good white friends, or just good friends in general, come on and just start destroying people. Like my boy Joe Leeper, he came in just fucking laying waste to people. Laying waste, and they just all just kind of fell by the wayside, and it was over. The dust settled, and we won. We had brown, black, and white people coming together to take down these fucking bigots, and it was great. So I need to stop getting into Twitter fights. I really do. I have to stop it. I'm a grown-ass man fighting on Twitter. And I just have to tell myself to ignore it. Just ignore that type of shit. I can't. I know it's a minority, but those people are the loudest and they get on my nerves. And sane people don't make for good comedy. They really don't. It was fun while it lasted, but I gotta stop. I have to. I gotta stop just talking to random people. I have to. And another story that I saw that didn't blow my mind is this preacher, Creflo Dollar, which is the pimpest name for a preacher I've ever heard. You got money in your name. This dude pretty much started a Kickstarter asking his congregation or his followers or whoever, whatever you want, his supporters, to donate at least $500. X amount of 1,000 people to donate that much money for him to buy a $65 million Learjet. Jesus wanted him to have that Learjet. Are you kidding me? And there's people out there, ignorant ass people, who are all for it. I have a friend who's a preacher who put on Facebook, why isn't there this much disdain for Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Oprah? You give them money to make them rich. They prosper financially from their followers and their supporters. It's like, yo, they're giving you something. You get to see a show. You got a CD, a book. You have something in your hand. You have an experience. What is Creflo Dollar giving you? Nothing. And I'm not trying to slam Christianity. I have nothing against religion, but I hate pimps like this. This dude taking advantage of spiritually thirsty people, ignorant ass people who think this shit's okay. What is he really giving you? And I've heard he's done some great things in the city of Atlanta, and that's fine. That's great. But why the fuck do you need a G3? Why do you need a $65 million jet, man? Are you serious? And I'm not saying preachers can't have money, but damn. I mean, at what point have you had enough? I mean, honestly, how can you get up there every Sunday or whatever other day you get up there, and you want to teach about Jesus, about being humble, about giving back to people, not being caught up in material things, not being a worldly person, and you came to that church in a private jet and then rode there in a Maybach Benz? How was that? How can you even sleep at night on your 5,000 count Egyptian cotton fucking California King beauty rest bed in your 10,000 square foot mansion? Your goose down pillows. That's disgusting to me. I'm sorry. That's gross. And if you believe in that shit, like if you believe in that man like that, you are a sheep and you're pathetic. And honestly, I don't even know how you can compare an entertainer to the quote-unquote man of God. How can you? Those people aren't promising you salvation. That's disgusting. And for people to actually defend that. But I guess if you're in that profession, and you kind of want the same thing, I think it's gross. And I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for saying that, but I think that is just downright disgusting for someone to just straight up ask for money for a jet. Now, I could see if the jet was going to benefit everybody. If somehow everyone had access to this jet. But just because you want a private jet, Jesus wants you to have that jet? Are you kidding me? If I had $1 billion, I wouldn't give that man $2. He's a pimp, and he is preying on poor black people who are desperate for spiritual, for like quenching their spiritual thirst. That's just wrong, man. Absolutely wrong, in my opinion. And that's all I have to say about that ignorant shit. All right, I'm gonna talk about Walking Dead. I had to leave a little bit more time. It was a great episode. So if you don't want me to spoil it for you, that's it. There's a show. That's a show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. And again, the email is negroplease@gmail.com. And all right, I'm going to get into the Walking Dead portion of my show. This episode was action-packed. I can't lie. It was very intense. For lack of a better term, I was on the edge of my seat. It was a heart pounding episode. I'm using all the corny canned statements, but it was a great episode. It was a very like zombie apocalypse episode. You know, just classic going out on a run, shit hits the fan, and people died. I kind of thought Glenn was in trouble. There was a scene where the cinematography, the way that, you know, it kind of focused on him for a bit. I was like, oh shit, I think something might happen to Glenn. But, and it was cool to see, how Rick's group, they kind of, even, you know, they had the few storylines going on. It was cool to see how they all kind of took over the respective jobs they were given or teams they were put on. You know, with Abraham being on the construction team, the zombies came and he stepped up, killed them, you know, and he was able to lead the people to get the work done for the rest of the day. Same with Glenn. Shit hit the fan. Zombies came. He kind of got people in the right direction. Even though there were some lives lost, he still took charge. I mean, because obviously their ethos at Alexandria is to, once something goes wrong, run, leave your man behind. And that's definitely not how Rick's group operates. And they're bringing that heroism to Alexandria, and I think people really respect it. You know, it's just at Alexandria, it's really like, we need to preserve what we have at all costs, even if that means we have to leave somebody. Which, I mean, in their situation, I kind of understand. They got a good thing going. I kind of get it. I wouldn't do that, but I see where they're coming from. I don't believe in how they do that, but I see why they do it. I don't agree with it, but I see it. The whole scene with them stuck in the turnstiles, awesome scene. It just really took me right back to episode one where Rick was stuck in the tank and Glenn saved him. And the other scene, I think it was season two, maybe episode two or three, where Shane and, what was that guy's name? The fat guy who shot Carl. Well, they were kind of stuck in that school. It kind of took me back to them where you were like, what the hell is going to happen? And, you know, your boy with the mullet came, saves the day. And that one dude, man, the guy that pretty much got Noah killed. I don't know the new characters' names yet, but I mean, for him to run out of there and open that turnstile door to allow the walkers to get to Noah was pretty fucked up. I wanted him to die. I really wish Glenn would have killed him, but I guess it wouldn't have really helped the story. But, dude, Noah's death was fucking brutal. I mean, for them to have to, like, show his face getting ripped off. And I will say this. I always feel like the effects in that show are awesome. They're top-notch. But when they had the dummy head, why the hell was my man's face so ashy? Why? They pulled apart an ashy-ass Noah face. I thought that was kind of funny. But that was probably one of the most brutal... Actually, you know what? It's really not. People are saying this was one of the most brutal scenes ever. I don't think it really was per se when you look at other deaths in the show. But I think because that person was part of the group, and a lot of times you don't really see the cast members getting taken down like that. Even when T-Dog died, it was the traditional kind of like getting swarmed and kind of just, you know, getting overrun. But you never really saw like someone get mutilated like he did, like to get literally ripped apart like that from the group. I think that's what made it worse. And the fact you felt for Glenn, he's literally like a foot and a half away watching it. You just felt really, really bad for him. And yeah, it was a great episode. I don't know why I can't think of the guy with the mullet's name. I can't. Joshua, was it Joshua? What's his name? No, it's Josh McDermott. Josh McDermott's character. It was cool to see him come out of his shell and not be such a sissy or a wussy, whatever you want to call him. That was cool. He saved his friend and pretty much saved the day. But I thought that was a cool episode. The preacher, Gabriel, that really pissed me off that he went and pretty much tried to snitch on Rick's group and say they weren't good people. That sucked. And I'm glad Maggie heard it. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the next two episodes. My prediction is the next episode will be pretty slow. It's going to be a lot of buildup. I think people will complain. It won't be enough action for them. And I'm super excited because they finally are going to do a longer finale. I don't know if people were complaining online. I never tweeted. Actually, I think I might have tweeted AMC or The Walking Dead and say, how come we can't get a 90-minute premiere or finale? So I'm guessing maybe enough fans did that and they decided to go along with it, or they were planning to do it all along. But I'm excited for it, and I'm sad to see the season over with so quickly. It seemed like 5B just started. It just seems like season 5 just started. But it's going to be interesting to see how they end it. And that's the show. So there's a show. That's a show. Thanks again. This is Negro Please Radio. I'm Chris Allen. Thanks again. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @ Chris Allen Comedy. That's ALAN. And I'm out. Peace. Thank you.